Blog Talk Radio.
Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. Means broken or changed or altered.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel. And thank you for bringing me into the night's broadcast. Looks like 102,684 people came to hear the words of Yahuwah. And you know what? That's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear something about the words of Yahuwah and basically what's going on. You know, yesterday or probably day before, we were talking a bit about the Black Dahl experiment with Bill Cosby. And we did look into that. It appeared that most of the documentation was taken off the Internet. But we were able to find some PDFs which were pretty long and too extensive to read out on today's broadcast, but are still available. Now, who had invested their money into this, what they call the blue-eyed, brown-eyed Dahl exercise, was called the Clark Dahl experiment. It was first done some years ago, back in 1939. It was an experiment done by Dr. Kenneth Clark, him and his wife, Marie. They were asked to back children to choose between a black Dahl and a white Dahl. It's interesting to see what happens in this documentation. The Dahls were the same, except for their skin color. But most thought the white Dahl was nicer when they were asked. In 1954, years later, the same experiment was conducted with the Board of Education. The experiment helped to persuade the American Supreme Court that had equal schools for black and whites. But they were anything but equal, as you found out before. We were talking about that a few days ago, prejudice in the schools and other locations. But in the practice, therefore, trying to get it to be against the law, it was the beginning of the end of the Jim Crow. In the experiment, Clark showed black children the ages between 6 and 9, 2 Dahls, 1 white and 1 black. Then he asked the question in this order. Show me the Dahl that you like best or that you would like to play with. Okay, they chose the white Dahl. Show me the Dahl that is nice. They chose again the white Dahl. Show me the Dahl that looks bad. Of course, they chose the black Dahl. Once again, give me the Dahl that looks like a white Dahl. And you know, of course, they gave them the white Dahl. A couple of other questions. Give me the Dahl that looks like a colored child. That was a question that was answered at that particular time. Again, they gave the black Dahl. Okay, now give me the one that looks like a Negro Dahl. The black Dahl was again gave to him. Now, this is the last question. Give me the Dahl that looks like you. And, of course, they grabbed, once again, reluctantly, the black Dahl. Negro and colored were both common words for black before the 1960s. That was the last question, which was the worst. And at that point, most black children had picked the black Dahl as the bad one in that time. It was a number between 44% and higher, said that the white Dahl looked like them in past tests. However, many children would refuse to pick up either Dahl. They would just start crying and run away from the pressure from the questions. One study Clark gave the test over 300 children in different parts of the country. He found that black children who went to segregated schools, those separated by race, were more likely to pick the white Dahl as the nice one. And the test he did that became part of the Brown versus Board of Education, he asked 16 black children in the 1950s in Clarion County, South Carolina. Of these, 63% said that the white Dahl was the nice one. And that's the one they wanted to play with. Clark also asked children to choose a color picture of themselves. Make a color picture of themselves. Most chose a shade of brown, a bit lighter than themselves. In 2005, Kendra Davis repeated the experiment in Harlem as part of her short but excellent film, a girl like me. She was asked 21 children, and 71% told her that the white doll was a nicer one. Not a huge sample of size, but it's still true. Shocking to see how many of those chose the white doll over the black one. A little later in 2009, after Obama became president, Good Morning America on ABC did the test. They asked 19 black children in Norfolk, Virginia. It's hard to compare their numbers because they allowed both and neither as an answer. They also did the last question, making it far easier to answer. 88% said the black doll looked like most of them. Well, even it seems like Michelle Obama had got into that act. She had made a doll of herself. And, of course, they made it look nicer, a bit nicer and more attractive. And most of the black men chose the Obama doll as being the most beautiful. But still, a higher majority of black women chose the white doll for being more accepted over the Michelle Obama doll. ABC also added a question to which doll was pretty. The boy said, oh, of course, the higher percentage was the black girl, said that the white doll was the prettiest. But, of course, the black guy said, oh, we like the black doll better. Anyway, this study is to show that usually when you watch how a child plays with their toys or which one they accept, it's a very excellent way to see which way your child's mind is going. And this is what has been done for parenting over some years, except for recently. We don't know what they're doing now, looking at the kids, how they're coming out of the houses with their stuff that they're representing. But anyway, we just wanted to put that out there. And those that want to look into it, you can find these articles on YouTube, readily available. But anyway, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. We always come to you live with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's Word, connecting the books, your health, and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek and found that which you have sought in Yahuwah's Ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's no class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. Once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine currently on any one of your devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the lion, you're going to see some choices. One of these is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of your other devices, it may appear to be just a little different. This time you might see menu, but after clicking this, again you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. Follow the same instructions as for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also, to build a school, a banquet hall, land to grow the health foods that we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. The calendar explains when the feast days occur, what they mean in description, how long they last, and when they end, which is a good thing. Now, for the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time, like now. Open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click Enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red Live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcasts. We're currently using two email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is tribe, it's tribeyhdh at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions answered of a biblical subject or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how a program was liked by you. We also have a few numbers to reach Yahuwah's ministry. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards would greatly be appreciated as not to disturb the words of Yahuwah. We have a few verses that we use from the Bible to explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8 says, "Answer not before thou heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of the talk." The other comes from the book of James, looking at chapter 1 at verse 26. 26 says, "If any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." But as you can imagine, during our previous broadcasts, and probably even today, there are still those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. They will call during the program announcement or cause some sort of disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may not be familiar with what Yahuwah the Son has told us in the book of Matthews. We're looking at chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, "Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah." Once again, we also find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer direct for questions via voicemail, email, or text. He's usually pretty busy answering many memos, even having thoughts of running just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. And the most important thing that's being done is preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please, place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But you might imagine, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and began to find that this is impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthews, looking at chapter 19, verse 26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Fridays. Program time is repeated at 9:45. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Type in three words in the search line, once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click Enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you were late logging into, or actually, any previous day that you would like to listen. We're also in the process of making it possible to get a CD recording or DVD recording of any program. Just call the international line to order any particular day, a number of days. Well, this is one of these days where it's going to be another exciting day for the Word of Yahuwah. And you can imagine, nothing has changed except the number of people that come for Yahuwah's Word. That's always a good thing. Those of us that commend it, add unto it only following by certain people casting the words behind their back, wanting to hear their favorite verses in the Bible that they like. Can you imagine that? Taking the verses meaning totally another way, along with the deceptive listeners, noisemakers, complainers, flipping the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention. But when you ask them to speak, they're completely lost. They're clearly forgetting that we're only one man or one woman, and time is not in our favor, but the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what a man or woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life, and that's if at all possible. Does anyone ever told you that they've done 101%? They just lied. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. Now that's impossible. Don't forget what I said earlier about what Yahuwah the Son said about the impossible in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So as we begin to read the Bible, we know that it tells us that a man or woman are measured by their works. That's the things we think, that we do and say. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18, 18 says, "Yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to keep your Bibles open, because our works are going to continue. We're going to pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, "Hallelujah, Yahuwah."
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Steele. That was excellent. Excellent again. That was excellent. While we're looking at these memos, and I really appreciate that information, and I hope this national audience appreciate the information too. And the name of, like Mr. Tiff said, was Clark. See, he ran a series, and one thing about Mr. Clark, he financed his own money to open up a school. I think it was maybe, I don't know what place it was in, but maybe Mr. Tibbs take a look at that, what place it was at, New York or South Carolina somewhere. I don't have it together. But one thing about it, he asked a question, a serious question. He took out some money out of his wallet and said, "Young man, you are Negro." He said, "You see this money? You need some money, don't you?" He said, Yeah, I can stand a piece of change." He said, "Well, call yourself a Negro then. Black. You know." He said, "No." Now this is a young man, no more than about, at the best, between less than 8 years old, and he said, "No, I don't want the money. I am a African American." He said, "But I'm showing you some money. All you gotta do is call yourself a Negro." And he was watching that money for long enough. But he didn't waver. He kept up and said he's African American. So we clear that we ask the people today, they'll say they're African Americans again, but that's why it's so important to understand this broadcast was taken a little further. See, everybody's like a relay race. Everything was taken so far, then passed on. See, now it's in the hands of voices of the true Israelites. The ministries that have once been before us now is in the hands of bosses of the true Israelites to take as far as Yahweh allow us to do it. But see, that's what I'm saying, Cedar. It's very important to understand something. To donate, support this ministry, because this ministry planned for your convenience to produce proper teachers, land, school, banquet hall, and a radio station. And a radio station. Because we need to make sure we clear we can get our message. That's why we got to have our own radio station. We got to have our own land, school, and banquet hall. But we can do the same thing that was done once upon a time ago and to deliver our people. But it starts in the mind. Your deliverance is not numbers. It's in the mind. See, I got some of these memos. It's very important. And this is kind of memos that I like because one thing about it, you have to make adjustments. Soon as he give you to make the adjustment. This is one of the memos say, but we want to stay anonymous, where it go. And this is a big group. This is what they say. Where did you get this knowledge from, and how do we apply this kind of knowledge now in the days of the world? That's good talk there. And then this other memo says this, where we get the knowledge from. Okay, this is what it says here. This memo says, how can we join this organization, and what benefit it is to us to do so? Money can't buy love. So that's another good one. So that's another one going on the table. So we see we have a big job on us to do because these are legitimate questions. How can we join this organization, and how do we benefit from joining this organization? That's good. See, that's good talk right there. See, that's kind of good talk you want to hear, and we have to show soundly through Scripture. See, talk is over with, because we know one thing, Yahweh got it written, the four-letter man, YHWH, and he makes a lot of profound statements. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit more, and again, we want to talk about your health again, your health. Now, I got this. This is another memo. Seer, I have me a stepper machine. How long do I stay on the stepper machine, the air stepper? Well, when you get on the stepper, you stay on the air stepper machine. You got to get the sluggishness out your body. Your body is built up full of mucus and everything from where we've been eating. And you know, the older you get, the less you move around. But you want to stay on the air stepper until your body loosen up till your blood start flowing up. See, you'll feel sluggish, tired, fatigued, and all that. But that air stepper will start kicking your blood up like you do orange juice, you know. Oh, it's flat. And the first thing you do, you shake it up real good, right? The same thing you got to do, you got to shake your blood up. And the more you shake your blood up, the better you will feel, but you will feel real sluggish from the get-go because your body going to be fighting you to not proceed, go further. So you have to do that. Take your time and get your blood going. Get that blood to start moving. For the light in the 17th chapter of Leviticus, verse 10, the life is in the blood. So if your blood is splattered, it's contaminated through starch eating and bad food eating, potatoes, beans and rice, chicken and steak, beef, that stuff that sits in your system a long time and it causes you to have a colon problem, or make your colons work harder than they normally will work. And the more you keep on piling all that 17 nations food in your stomach, you always going to be backed up and stopped up, sluggish, fatigued, and you will have to come to realize that if once you find out that you are Israel, the food we just got through name, Israel never ate it. And they live longer. And one thing about it, once you start getting your inside, bring up that fatal ground inside and get your blood circulating much better by doing your exercising and eating right. But remember, you must have your mighty one in front of you. And that's a good thing, too. So we're not going to talk too much on that, too. But like I said again, how long you stay on your air stepper until you start feeling better, until you feel better. You keep going, and you keep pumping that blood up. Take your time until you start feeling better, until the slugginess, like I said, like they say in the old days, catch your wind, catch your second wind. You got to catch your second wind. I know you might do a whole lot of huffing and puffing now, but you're trying to get your second wind to come back. And that's because your blood is too thick, which causes high blood pressure, diabetes, all type of ailments in your body. But if you get your blood to start circulating up and down, tingling in your feet, all that stuff right there is because your blood is too thick. Get your blood down, but keep your Yahuwah first. So we got a lot of memos on the table, and we're going to try to answer everything that we can unfold because that's good stuff we're hearing. But one thing about it, and it's another memo we got. Do you know they got a pledge drive for buying a statue of Peter and Paul. The statue is you pledge so much money, and they'll send you a statue of Peter and Paul from the Holy Land of Rome. From the Holy Land of Rome. So Peter and Paul is buried in Rome. As a matter of fact, Peter is buried up under, you know, the big temple, the big cathedral or whatever they call it, because he's the first pope. See, Peter's the first pope. So Peter visits Rome, and every priest must visit Rome once within 5 years. Every 5 years, you must visit Rome because Peter is the first pope of Rome. And Paul, I forgot what he said about Paul. And Paul was Paul and Peter was crucified, hung upside down in Rome. And that's why you got to visit. And now they got a little statue of Peter and Paul, and you can purchase it. You can purchase a statue of Peter and Paul. Okay? A lot of work on the table, and that's why we come humble, and this ministry is aimed for the six anointed camps to wake up and get on the front line, but you first got to have total information about how to catch propaganda according to the Bible. Now, Peter and Paul, if you got statues of Peter and Paul, and then the question I ask, well, what did they look like? And they got Peter and Paul with no hair on the top of their head, and they look like the common descendants of Esau was called the white race. So Peter and Paul, with the little statues they have, they are descendants from the white race, but it's no such thing as a white race or a black race. You got to be a descendant from one of the 18 nations. So the white race came from the descendants of Esau and his five sons. And take it from there. So So we're going to examine a lot of things, but we don't know what we're going to get at right now. But one thing about it, propaganda is very high, but it's no defense, because the people that's supposed to tell the story don't know the story. And like I said again, we want to join, but what benefits is it is in joining? So now all that good information we got to deal with. We got to deal with that seed right here. That's good stuff got to be dealt with. So we got to show in scripture-wise some things that we need to know to build a case. We're going to build a case up in the teaching of the fiery destruction of Christianity, the great beats the Roman Catholic Church. So we're going to leave it red like that, and we're going to go find Brother Yagdai and bring him in. And we just see which way it go. Because one thing about it, I want to deal with Mr. Clark that brought out that money. And he say, hey, you're a Negro. He said, I'm an African-American. Well, that's good enough for that time. But that time now, the bar had been raised up a little higher now. So you African-American, we leave that right there, but we're going to identify that is another level and who supposed to bring it out according to scripture. So that's a good thing. Be an African-American instead of being Negro, black, and colored. So now, but that's a good thing. So Mr. Clark went in his pocket and got a school to teach the young ones. Now, I like to hear from one of them students, if I want you to get in contact and whoever know one of them students to see where they at today by dialing the 224-605-579. I like to really know the impact of one of them students that was in that broadcast and say, and they was trained that they was African-American, they wasn't Negro color or black. I like to hear from one of them students, because one of them students have to be from the time of that video of them, they must be somewhere in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't know, somewhere in that area. So I like to hear from them what was that impact today. All right, enough said on that. We're going to, and we throw that out for one of the members that was in that class to get in contact with Voices of the True Israelites. Call the international line 224-600-5579. We'd like to see what was that effect today. They got to be at least in the 60s, 70s, or 80s as we speak. So whoever know any of them that's in that video, contact Voices of the True Israelites. Good enough. Enough said on that. We're going to find Brother Yagdai. And we're going to get on the table. So when you meet your brother, with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yagdai Israel, Yahweh be with you, they'll see right.
The Lord bless you, Seer Israel, and Seer Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that brother Yahweh Israel. Well, I really like what I'm hearing at Brother Yahweh Israel. And one thing about it, you know, when it's hot and heavy, I know we will be on the front line of it, but we have to can't talk a good front line. We have to show it in writing. Why should anybody join the Six Anointed Camps of Voices of the True Israelites? That is an excellent question on the table. So we have to show why that this ministry right here will be the ministry to take care of business, and we'll show you through scripture as we unlock our past, present, and future. That's why it's so important to understand something, that you have to know who you are. And when you read the Bible, then the Bible will open up to you better when you know who you are in this book. the Bible will open up better. You sit around with your loved ones, if you're able to show them who you are in this book and bring it up and put it in their lap, you'd be surprised, like putting water on a flower, if you're able to bring them up. Luke chapter 12, Brother Yahweh Israel, there's something going on the fiery destruction of Christianity, the great beast, the wrong part 43. What do Luke 12:12 say? You're on the clock, come out.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. So that before it teach you, see, Roy, what you ought to say, it all come from the Bible. You got something to say, that means you, when you get in contact with the six anointed camp, it must be important. What scripture are you going for us to really take a look at? And that's how you got to operate. Let's look at a statement, and let's go on to Brother Yahweh Israel. Let's look at a statement in Isaiah 65:13. What do this mean? Isaiah 5:13. Gotta hold that up before you read that. Yeah, hold that up here. Hold that up and back up to the 9th chapter of Isaiah and put Isaiah on the table first. Now, let's see what he's talking about. Put Isaiah on the table first. In the book of Isaiah there, Dr. Israel, see, we go on to the book of Isaiah. Yeah, Brother Yahweh Israel. And I'm peeping where we want to start in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 8. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 8. And we'll look at verse 9. And we'll take it down to verse 16. Now listen good to what we got written in Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 9 through 16. Listen to this, what the seer is getting information from the mental spirit that puts on the table. What you working with, Brother Yahweh Israel? 8, 9 through 16, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse number 9 through 16 reads, the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse number 9, "Associate yourself, O you people, and you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you of far countries. Gird yourself, you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces." Verse number 10, "Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For Yahweh is with us." Verse number 11, "For Yahweh spake thus to me with a strong hand. It struck me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying." Verse 12, "Say you not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." Verse 13, "Sanctify Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Verse 14, "He shall be for a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the family of Israel, northern kingdom, and for a gin and for a snap to the inhabitants of Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom, polluted where Jerusalem." Verse 15, "And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken and be snared, and be taken." Verse 16, "Bind up the covenant, seal the Torah instructions among my disciples."
So he says, then he dropped a tidbit right here in verse 16. Which is big talk. What he said in verse 9 and verse 16 again, Brother Yahweh Israel, we're going to take our time with this right here because I don't know where you're going. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm liking what I'm hearing so far. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9 and 16 says what?
Book of Isaiah 8, verse number 9. Associate yourself, O you people. You shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you of a far country. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Verse number 16. Bind up the covenant. Seal the Torah instructions among my disciples.
He said, bind up the covenant and seal the Torah, the first five books, among my followers, including the word called disciples. He said, listen, Isaiah, tell them what they must hear is the word of Yahuwah. Tell them what they got to hear. What they got to, my word. That's what he's saying. So when we go to, with that same understanding, let's go to end time prophecy and look at Revelation 7, verse 4. Let's go and see, can we go to end time prophecy and see if anything changed when John was told in 1:17 through 19 and 4:1 to write the hereafter. What he says in 7, verse 4 of Revelation.
The book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse number 4 reads, Revelation chapter 7, verse number 4. And I heard a number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the nation family of Israel.
So the Bible of testimony must be sealed by the nation of Israel. So the sealing of the understanding must be taught by the children of Israel. It must be, how many out of every tribe again there, Brother Yahdai Israel? Keep reading a bit. I need to know how many out of every tribe must present themselves. So we know it haven't happened. So let's find out how many supposed to be sealed. And read that verse again. I need to know a number. One more time there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Come on.
The book of Revelation 7, verse number 4 reads, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the family of Israel.
Excellent. So who going to be sealed? Is all of the family of the children of Israel. And that is one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. John said, the seal must begin. And what's got to be finished, this seal, is 12,000. Was it 12,000 there? Or Brother Yach, or 10,000? What was it say, how many? How many out of every tribe got to be sealed?
12,000.
12,000 out of every tribe. And how many tribes is it? Let's go to end time prophecy and find out how many tribes must be sealed. So since John is talking about the hereafter, we go on to the 21st chapter and find out how many tribes that must have on them by going to, when it's all said and done, we're going to end time prophecy. Now, how you know it's end time prophecy? By understanding what's written in Revelation 1:17 through 19 and 01. John was told to write the hereafter. So when John put his pen down, the story of YHWH was told. Now, we're going to see what he was told all the way on the right side of the book in 21, verse 3, 10 through 12. Let's see what's going on. 3, 10 through 12. Come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3, verse number 10 through 12 reads, book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the temple of Yahweh is with men and women, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and Yahweh shall be with them and be their Yahweh. Verse number 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain to show me that great city, the righteous Yahweh Judah, polluted the word Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Yahweh. Verse number 11, having the greatness of Yahweh, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse number 12, and a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 minister spirits, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the family, the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So the 12 tribes of Israel. So it was 12 tribes. Now let's go see what is the 12 tribes' name. Now, we need to know their names now. We're going to Exodus chapter 1. Now, we got to come up with 12 names. So we find out now the seal would be on the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 out of every tribe present himself. That's the big job ahead of the ministry that bring this to light. So we find out by end time prophecy, it will be 12 tribes that got a gate. They have a geographic location, and everybody's make it on the other side will be on earth. They must come through the 12 gates of the 12 tribes of Israel. Did you notice that you heard nothing about the Roman Catholic Church? You heard nothing about Islam. You heard nothing about Judaism teaching. You heard nothing about the Jews. We're going to get the names of the 12 tribes. And we're going to call out numbers every time we hear a name. And we're going to find out, do anything we see now that have taught us will be in the end time to come. That means making a decision. We're going to find out what we hear about anybody's name that's different, that's for the tribes of Israel, what is their name. And name I'm going to be looking for is the name Jew. I'm going to be looking for that name Jew. I'm also going to be looking for the name called Muhammad. I'm going to be looking for Jew, Muhammad. And I'm going to be looking for the founding fathers of the Europeans. I'm going to be looking for all that in these 12 names. Let's see what we're working with, Brother Yahdai, yesterday. I'm looking for 12 names. And let's see where I get any names that's on the clock as we speak. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Let's talk about it. You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads, now these are the names of the family of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Verse number 2, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Verse number 3, Issachar, Zebulun,
six,
and Benjamin.
Seven.
Verse number 4. Dan.
Eight.
Naphtali.
Nine.
Gad.
Ten.
And Asher.
Seven.
For Joseph was in Egypt already.
Braille. Now, there go the 12 names of the children of Israel. There go the 12 names of the children of Israel. Now, let's go to end time prophecy and peep at the 12 names, what they got coming. Now, there go the 12 names, see, Ray. So now we're on to end time prophecy by going to Ezekiel. Because, see, right now, propaganda is high. You know why? And the book is silent. But it have to be, I got to pull a rabbit out of that behind that brother Yahdai Israel. Let's run to the book of Jasper for a minute. I got to pull a rabbit out of that. But right now, I got to pull a rabbit out of that. And we're going to about 78. I want to look at a story. I want to look at a story there, Brother Yahdai Israel. In the book of Jasher, on page 157, in chapter 77, and you pick it up around about verse 36. Pick it around about verse 36 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. I want to see something and take it down to verse number 4. We're not gonna make a big deal out of it, but it is a big deal because we want to know how things work. We go on to the book of Jasher, chapter 77, and we're gonna look at 77 verse number 36 down to verse number 40. What you working with there, Brother Yahdai Israel? You on the clock, come on.
The book of Jasher, chapter 77, verse 36 through 40 reads. Book of Jasher, chapter 77, verse number 36. Nisa, behold, the man Moses was living in the dungeon, standing upon his feet, praising and praying to Yahweh of his forefathers, polluted word ancestors. Verse 37. And Reuel commanded Moses to be brought out of the dungeon. So they shaved him, and he changed his prison garments and ate bread. Verse 38. And afterward, Moses went into the garden of Reuel, which was behind the house. And he that prayed to Yahweh, his Yahweh, who had done mighty wonders for him. Verse 39. And it was that while he prayed, he looked opposite to him. Behold, a sapphire stick was placed in the ground, which was planted in the midst of the garden. Verse number 40. And he approached the stick, and he looked. And behold, the name of Yahweh of hosts was engraved thereon, written and developed upon the stick.
Name of Yahweh was on this stick. Now, Moses was brought out the dungeon. And Moses, Reuel, his father-in-law, brought him, and it was a stick stuck down with a sapphire stick. You know, they had used to have a program come on back in the days called Andy Sapphire, and how'd that go, Brother Yahdai? Help me out, Brother Yahdai Israel. How'd that sapphire go?
Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy. And Sapphire was one of the wives of one of them, but Sapphire was a dark-skinned woman. And that's what I mean by a sapphire. See, as long as they put in there something that tells part of the truth, because you ain't going to investigate, but sapphire is always a dark, matter of fact, a sapphire stone is so black, it's blue-black. That's what the true sapphire stone is, blue-black. So it was a black stick, but it had the name on it, the name. Now read a little bit more. Let's see what that stick, what happened next there, Brother Yahdai Israel. I want to get that part in and see what happened next with this sapphire stick that was stuck in the the garden. And all the big dignitaries tried to pull that stick out, and nobody was able to do so. Read a little bit more of that, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Verse number 41. He read it and stretched forth his hand. He pulled and he plucked it like a forest tree from the thicket, and the stick was in his hand. Verse 42. Verse 42. And this is the stick with which all the works of our Yahuwah were performed after he had created heaven and earth and all the host of them, sea, river, and all their fishes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you keep reading, because I want to get down to the part when Ruel, his eyes zero in on what he was seeing. Huh? Keep reading a little bit more till we get down to Ruel's part of what he's seeing. Keep reading that, Brother Yahdai Israel. I think we might be on a little something here. Come on.
Verse number 43. When Yahweh had driven Adam from the Garden of Eden, he took the stick in his hand and went and tilled the ground from which he was taken. Verse 44. And the stick came down to Noah and was given to Shem and his descendants. They came into the hand of Abraham. Abraham. Verse 45. And when Abraham had given all that he had to his son Isaac, he also gave to him this stick. Verse 46. When Israel had fled to Paddan Aram, Jacob had fled to Paddan Aram, he took it into his hand. When he returned to his father, he had not left it behind him. Verse 47. Also, when he went down to Egypt, he took it into his hand and gave it to Joseph, one portion above his brethren. But Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had taken it by force from his brother Esau. Verse 48. And after the death of Joseph, the nobles of Egypt came into the house of Joseph, and the stick came into the hand of Reuel, the Midianite. And when he went out of Egypt, he took it in his hand and planted it in his garden. Verse 49. And all the mighty men of the Kenites tried to pluck it when they endeavored to get the poor of his daughter, but they were unsuccessful. Verse 50. So that stick remained planted in the garden of Reuel until he came who had a right to it and took it. Verse 51. And when Reuel saw the stick in the hand of Moses, he wondered at it, and he gave him his daughter Zipporah for a wife.
Mm-hmm. So that stick got in the hand of Moses. Do you know Moses is... Moses, see, now they got a, they running a fundraising, and they went to the Holy Land, and you do your homework on the internet or whatever. I got the memo on it. It's a fundraiser that they got a piece of a picture of Peter. They got a picture of them, and they say you can purchase this by making a donation of the picture of Peter and Paul. Now, Moses grabbed the sapphire stone, the sapphire stick, with the name of the four letters on it, YHWH. Now, I want to examine something, because he's a Benjamite. Moses is a Levite. Moses is a Levite, and Paul is a Benjamite. Good. Now, I want to examine what's going on at, the pictures they got, that if you make a donation, you can get to. So when you go on the network and look around, you will find out all the information that it is a, you know, big group, which I'm not going to call their name out. But they got a fundraising going on that you receive a picture of Peter and Paul with their hair missing on top of their head, but they all look like descendants of Esau. They white. You remember the Brother Clark said that he asked the young man, which one of these is the evil dog, the damnless dog? And he said, that one right there. He said, the black one, that's the evil scandalous dog. He said, which one favor you? He said, that black one right there. He said, that black one right there favor me. But you just said that's the scandalous and that's the scandalous dog. See? That's the evil dog. Now you see, see right here. You see how early they get your loved ones when the time you bring them to preschool. And all this right here, when you go to preschool and you ask your grandbaby or anybody, all that be, and you put them at a disadvantage. You put your loved ones at a disadvantage, just as that program that was, I must tell you, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and the one that Brother Clark had probably in the 50s or 60s. So everybody that was in that broadcast is at least about 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. I don't know, somewhere in that area. But see, propaganda starts early, see, right? And long as we don't understand that who's supposed to teach this Bible, but if you don't know how the Bible got away from you, and you don't know your foundation, do you know what it says in Psalm 11, verse 3? What it says in Psalm 11, verse 3, there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse number 3 reads, Psalms 11, verse number 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the Torah instruction keepers, the righteous, do?
So, you know, the question's on the table. What advantage, what profit in us joining the Sixth Anointed Council of Voices of the True Israelites? You know, or what do we get out of it? And that's a good question. That's why the foundation must be walked up. Information must be known. Like, for example, recorded history. The paper bull. Named Pope Nicholas the Fifth. Pope Nicholas the issued a paper bull to King Alfonso the Fifth in 1455. Now, what was written in this paper bull that was issued June 18, 1450? What was issued to the king to do what? It was issued for the king to remove tribes, the peoples of Judah from Lister. Now what they mean by Lister, see? To, they hadn't already got to Lister. Portugal and Spain was where the children of Israel got to and was in Portugal and Spain, and the children of Israel headquarters where they prospered was in Lister. L-I-S-B-O-N. That's where they was at. They was there and they flourished real good around the 11th century. But remember, they was brought over there by Titus, asked for them to come that way. Nebuchadnezzar, people that helped Nebuchadnezzar in 586 had them that way. And children of Israel have always been in Portugal and Spain all the time. Matter of fact, they was in Portugal and Spain, which called in the northern world, it was in southern days. They lost a right. But you really can trace them back to around about the 1100s when they flourished. And this was Pope Nicholas V. He issued a papal bull to King Alfonso V of Portugal to seek out, destroy, to convert, to get them to convert to Roman Catholic Church Catholicism, to get out of Portugal and Spain, to submit, to submit what? Christianity, Roman Catholic Church, Christianity, see right here. The Pope issued that. They got to be converted to Christianity by any means necessary. But wait a minute. Christianity is Christ-like. Christianity is Lord God and Jesus. The truth of the Bible had to be forced and was an option to be destroyed or become a Christian. And Pope Nicholas V, the one that architected that, and he said, you first start getting them out of Lister. You start there because that's their stronghold. See, right here? So we're going to leave that part right there because, like I said again, we got a lot to deal with. Watch you join the six anointed camps. We got to take care of that. But one thing about it, we want you to do your homework first. What did Pope Nicholas do June the 18th, 1452? What did he tell the king, Alfonso V? Alfonso V didn't come up with this on his own. The Pope issued the papal bull to destroy, to seek out, to conquest perpetual certitude that was issued by Pope Nicholas V, and it got it written June the 18th, 1452. That's like 200 years before you get into that stuff y'all talk about, some that you came out of 1619 and all that. No, listen. The Pope got to working on the children of southern kingdom, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, because all three of them was together. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, but they was all up on the banner of Judah. All of them. Even Paul would say, I am from Judah. Mordecai say, I'm from Judah. Because that is the lead tribe, Yahdash Judah. So Benjamin, Levi, and Judah was all right here because they all have always been together. Good. We'll leave that back here. We just want some research to come out of this because there's some things that we need to know, and we'll bring it out as the lessons unfold in this series. Right now, we're going to run to Now let's come back to Isaiah 65, verse 13 now. Unless we're holding something. If we ain't holding nothing, Brother Yahdai Israel, let's come back to 65:13 of Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse number 13 reads, book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse number 13. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed.
He said, his servants, they're going to eat, and you're going to be ashamed. Now, that's big talk, see, right here. Now, he says, his servants, they're going to eat, and you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed when and what is going to activate you being ashamed. Let's see if we find out by going to Psalms chapter 50. And let's see if we find out who he talking about going and what got to happen that we can read. See, we got to now always know, be able to read who's going to be ashamed and who you talking about my sermon is going to eat. Who going to be ashamed and my servant's going to eat? What got to happen out of the mouth of David in the 50th chapter of Psalms, verse 21? What does it say in 50:21 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 21 reads, book of Psalms 50, verse 21, these things have thou done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes.
He said, I'm going to reprove you, and I'm going to set them in order before your eyes. Now, see, look at that. Now you think Yahweh going to come out of heaven? No, he do. He do on what he got to do. Now, he said, I'm going to reprove you and set them in order. What did they do in verse 20? What have they did? Let's see if in verse 20 and ask the question what they've been. Yeah, verse 20. What they have done to be that I'm going to prove you and set them in order? What did they do? Verse 20.
Verse number 20. Thou sitting and speaking against your brother, you slandering your own mother's son.
See they do? You see they do? He says, a people that speaks against your mother's brother. They always speak against them. They give them new names. Tell them that they everything but the descendants of the one that name was changed in 32:28 from Jacob to Israel. They slandered him by telling him, no, you're not from Jacob, you're not from Israel. Matter of fact, we don't know where you're from. You just be African American, Negro in color. They can't even tell you where you're from. They used to tell you from Ham until now, that right there, now, that don't work no more. So they don't know what to call. They don't know what they're going to come up with now on who you are now. They know you. They know they got to keep you from never understanding what the mouth of David in 1000 B.C. in 83 verse 4. What happened in 83, verse 4, there, Brother Yahdai Israel? And we'll skip down to verse 11 and 12. What happened because they're going to you today. But them going to be set in order. But here's the point. How is them going to be set in order if them think they African American Negroes? The question is, what advantage do I have and what we got coming if we join the six anointed camps of forces of the true Israelites? What do we get out of it? See, we got to take care of that. That's a great question. But we don't know how we're going to carve that, but we're going to carve that and lay before your eyes through the pages of the book. Verse 4 and verse 12 says what?
The book of Psalms, chapter 83, verse number 4, verse number 11, and verse number 12 reads, the book of Psalms 83, verse number 4. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Verse number 11. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb, yea, all their princes as Abba and as Almanah. Verse number 12. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of Yahuwah in possession.
You see what they say? Let us take all their meeting places. Let us, according to David, let us do some more good stuff. So it's already been prophesied what they're going to say and they're going to do. Now, right now, the world telling you now to, if you're going to pray, you pray to the rosemary beads, and now you go get you. You can get you a statue, Paul, because they visit Rome, because. You go visit Mississippi. That don't mean you found Mississippi because you visited. So we clear that Paul went to Rome, Peter went to Rome, but now you don't put a doctrine that Peter is a Roman. Paul is a Roman because they visit Rome. You see what you did now? Now they tell you now to be a high, big dignitary of the Roman Catholic, you have to visit, you got to come back and visit the Pope within 5 years, and that is what you have to do because below the grave of Peter, and on top of Peter is that great big place they got over there now. Peter is the first Pope, see? So you see, that, but can that hold up? Can that hold up? Well, the Almighty says in Psalms chapter 2, he says the mindset, and pick up verse 1, and take it down to the mindset 1, 2, and 3. Listen what is said and by the mouth of David, by the mental spirit in the second chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. Listen good.
The book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads, book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse number 1. Why do the nation, five sons of Esau, rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Verse number 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahuwah and against his anointed, saying, verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.
See what he say? He said, let us break their band. What do you mean break their band? Zephaniah 2:1. What do they want to break? One. Zephaniah.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse number 1 reads, book of Zephaniah, chapter 2. Book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse number 1. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 1 reads, gather yourself together, ye gather together, O nation, not desired.
Mm-hmm.
So, long as the world, 17 nations, led by Esau and his five sons, will never tell you the history, but you, on your own research, look up Pope Nicholas V, June 18, 1452. He says, if they do not convert to be Christian, they don't convert to be Christian, and be a slave, I want you to root them out, get them out of Portugal and Spain, and get them to the west coast of Africa, they call it, land of ham. That's how you end up on the west coast. And the fatal blow was made by the Roman Catholic Church. His name is Pope Nicholas V. He gets to that papal bull decree and start in Lister. Get them out of there unless they can convert to be Christians. Christian C. Ray. Huh? Christian. So you got to do your research. Well, the question is, what's benefit do I have joining the six anointed count? When we get through with that, I'm going to work it over real good. You will tell me in time to come. Now, let's see. But he said, I'm going to sit them in order. I will sit them in order. And let's find out how did you get out of order. I got to sit the nation of Israel back in order. Let's see why you're out of order. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 15:12-13. Let's see how you got that we can read. Remember, the key to it is always what we can read. How did they get out of order? Get out of order, what do the Almighty do? 1 Corinthians 15:12-13, that brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse number 12 and verse number 13 reads. Book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse number 12. It said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of Yahweh of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Verse 13. But because you did it not at first, Yahweh of your fathers, Yahweh made a breach upon us, for that we saw them not after the due order.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to preach up a little bit of that, Brother Yahweh Israel, because when Paul came on the scene, he was told that some things that he got to do. Let's run to Titus chapter 1, verse 5, and see what was he told that he had to do. Paul looked Titus eyeball to eyeball, and he was told something he got to do. Let's see what he got to do in 1, verse 5.
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 5 reads, book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 5. For this cause left I you in Crete, that you should have set in order the things that are wanted, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you.
Mm-hmm. So So Paul was telling Titus after he got Titus on his feet, now you got the anointing body in your hand now to anoint other men to be elder men and women. And the things that are lacking, that means what they short of, correct it and set them in order. So the first thing has to be done is not joining anything, but to understand that when you do join, whatever you join, it must be order. What kind of order? The Bible order. Let's run, see. And the order is, first of all, we have to set the mind in order. This is not just a bridge club. It is something that has been designed by Yahweh, but the order that we require to is what's written in this book. Let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:23. Let's say that, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Verse number 23 reads, "But every man in his own order, Yahweh the Son, the first fruit. Afterwards, they that Yahweh the Son at his coming."
So it all must be set up under Yahweh, YHWH. Everything must be set up under Yahweh. Whatever Yahweh got written, that's how it's going to be. Now, Paul made a stop over to the Colossians, Northern Kingdom, and he said something to them in Colossians 2, verse 5. He made a profound statement. We're going to see what he said in Colossians 2, verse 5.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse number 5 reads, "But though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Join and behold your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Yahweh the Son."
Read that again, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse number 5. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Join and behold in your order and steadfastness of the covenant in Yahweh the Son."
And again, Paul is telling them about order. Order, see, right here. The first thing have to be put in place is order. But who order? Yahweh's order. You got to find out what Yahweh's saying. And we're going to show you what Yahweh's saying. And that's the order you examine yourself on, what is Yahweh saying. But Yahweh talks about order. He talks about order. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, what he said about order. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. Verse number 40 reads, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order."
Everything got to be done decently and in order. The key to it is it got to be order. Order. And that's the key right there, see, right here. Order. He got an order about how this thing going to be done. And when you see signs of it done, that's where you start making your decision based upon what you can read from the pages of the book. So this thing has to be done in order. In order. Because you got it written in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 says what? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5.
Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 4, and verse number 5 reads, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 5, verse number 4, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse number 5, one Yahweh, one covenant, one baptism.
So, only thing you got to make is a one. It ain't no dough number two. The only decision you got to make is a one. A one. And what he says, and what did Yahweh turn around and look and say something in Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 37. So the only decision you got to make is one. It ain't but one decision to make, see, right here. One. And you got to find out what is that one. It ain't no either or. You know, either or is one. One is laid out. The foundation is laid out. One. Matthew 9:35-37 says what?
The book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35-37 reads, book of Matthew 9, verse 35, and Yahweh's son went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the temple, believe the word synagogue, and teaching the covenant of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, his followers, polluted were disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm. You got a whole bunch of eeny, meeny, mighty moles. But which way you going to go? You got to find the one. You must find the one. So you want to find the one, but you got to, first of all, the case got to be put on. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 16. That's probably run us up to the close there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Let's see what we get in Romans chapter 4, I mean chapter 12, verse 4 through 16. So we got to be clear what kind of decisions we must make. Go to Romans 12, 4 through 16, and see what we're working with. Come on.
The book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 4 through 16 reads, book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 4, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Yahweh the Son, and every one member one of another. Verse number 6, having then gift different according to the mercy that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he or she that teaches on teaching. Verse 8, he or she that exhorteth on exhortation, he or she that giveth, let them do it with simplicity. He or she that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly and sisterly love, and honor preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, given to hospitality. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men and women of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he says, he says, ain't but one way to go. That's all. That's, we can leave it like that. It ain't but one way to go. Give me Acts. Got two more minutes there. Give me Acts 6:2, verse 2. There, brother Yahdai Israel. Acts 6:2.
The book of Acts, chapter 6, verse number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples, through the word for followers, unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of Yahweh and serve tables.
Mm-hmm. So, what is he saying? The word of Yahweh is going to stand, see, right here. What's going to pull this thing through is understanding what's written and study what's written. Let's go to Corinthians 12, verse 12:13, 17-23. Well, let's make it 17-28 in the closing statement. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. 17-28 in the closing statement that Brother Yahdai Israel will leave right there until we get the special edition called Thursday. But I want you to not in order to listen to this real good what Paul is saying. Because Paul never contradicts nothing that was already written. All he done was add on to it, but never contradicts. Because Paul ain't brought nothing new on the table that we can't all read. All the rest of the moderators. 1 Corinthians 12:13, 17-28, and a closing statement for the clock.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse number 12 and 13, verse number 17-28 reads, the book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12. Where the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Yahweh the Son. Verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Yahdai Judah, southern kingdom, or the northern kingdom, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Verse number 17, if the whole body were one eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? Verse 18, but now have Yahweh set the members of every one of them in the body as it had pleased him. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where were the body? Verse 20, but now are they many members, but one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Verse 23, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, for Yahweh have tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, and you are the body of Yahweh the Son, and members in particular. Verse 28, and Yahweh has sent some in the congregation, through the word church, first apostles, secondarily seers, prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues.
How about that, Brother Yahdai Israel? You on the clock. We'll catch you on the special edition called Thursday evening. You done done your part in grandstanding. That's all you can do is your part. That's all we can do is our part. Understand one thing. We got, what matter of fact, give me Isaiah 40:31, then we close with that. What do Isaiah 40:31 say? Okay, I got you. Isaiah 40:31.
The book of Isaiah 40, verse 31 reads, "But they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
That's the best thing, Roger. You got to wait on Yahweh. And then he going to mount you up as like eagles. And you ain't going to faint. You'll be knowing how to deal with this thing according to the scripture. But you got to wait until the decent and order is set up. This book is for Israel, about Israel. Somebody got to be exposed because it ain't but one. And we're going to soundly show you the one is not the one that have been in your ear from birth. Guy Israel, closing statement. We'll catch you on a special edition called Thursday Evening. My time flying. Come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out there, see Israel, a sea royal. I'd like to add to what Brother Tiz brought out at the opening of the broadcast concerning the brother named Brother Clark. Just a little bit more information concerning the experiment and the brother and how he set up his educational system. And it reads, Kenneth and Mamie Clark. Kenneth Bancock Clark, born July 14, 1914, May 1st, died May 1st, 2005. And Mamie Fifth Clark, born April 18, 1917. And died August 11, 1983, were American psychologists who was a married teen, conducted research among children, and were active in the civil rights movement. They founded the Northside Center for Child Development in Harlem, and the organization Harlem Youth Opportunities Unlimited. Kenneth Clark was also an educator and professor at City Colleges of New York, and first black president of the American Psychological Association. Hallelujah.
Excellent. That's what it's all about. If we come on this broadcast, and what we always do is add on things and keep it moving. And that's what we're about. We can prove what we're on, and one thing about it, see right here. Understand that when this man Clark and his better half teamed together to come up with what they came up with, showing you soundly that it's a missing information that needs to be known. And we're going to bring all that to the table out of the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelite. Because there ain't but one way to go. It's not a option of another way. One way to go, and we're going to soundly show you the one way to go. All right, excellent, Brother Yahdai Israel. That's excellent on your part. We're going to bring Ms. Tibbs in for his final close of the teaching of Thus Says Yahweh and whatever Yahweh put on him. What WCC said behind that? No, seer, we're going to mute Mr. Tibbs. He don't have no comeback. M-U-T-E-X on Mr. Tills. Well, it's your radio broadcast. What can we say? So, but one thing we do know, let me tell you something, Steve Ray. That's why we tell you it's sounding. We got to get our own. But when you, they said when you dance to the music, you got to pay the piper. Well, I don't know how it go. I forgot how it go. But the part we're saying, Steve Ray, we need our own because we got the message to bring to the scattered 12 tribes of Israel, and how to organize yourself back to one mind, one understanding. So we have to put up with a lot of things on these networks and a lot of things with other camps. But the Bible is going to tell you soundly, it ain't but one way back. So you're going to have to have one leader. The six anointed camps of voices over two Israelites, but it got to be proven through the strip, through that in grand style. But it's going to take a little time. And that's why it starts on your appearance. That's why when you see those that teach out of the six anointed camp, they wear the royal blue garments, and they can meet you wherever you at with them branches on. So that is our logo. And we wear the white garments with branches on feast days. That's so we always have branches on when we got the Bible open. Because one thing about it, Yahweh is going to send those for the learning with the one that have the shadow and the one that wear up the fringes. So that's how we operate, through them fringes, because Yahweh says the blessing is in the fringes, and we wear the royal blue garments. Why royal blue? Because the Bible talks about a sea royal people, and I know only one color come with royal. Royal is blue. That's the color Roy is. Blue. Got it? Good. All right, well, okay, Mr. Till, we'll catch you tomorrow. From the Big Dig and Terry say, M-U-T-E-O-U-N-X. So we'll go straight to the mothers and get something going on. What you got there? Mother D.F. Israel will be mute, too. Well, we'll run to Mother E, Mother Z, and put the mothers out of Cap 1, and we'll bring them in. How that sound? When you meet the mothers out of Cap 1, Mother E, Mother Z, with a loud voice, tribal Yagdah Judah. Yahweh bless you, Mother E.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, the city of Roy. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother E. Sound great. Let's take a look at a couple things and see what the Almighty has laid out there for us to really put our and peep at some things. Let's run to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 down to verse 17. Let's see what we can get out of this, Mother E. Let's run to 1 Peter 3, 15 through 17. Let's see what we working with there. You're on the clock. Come on.
Okay. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15 to 17.
Yes, ma'am. That sounds pretty good.
Book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, through 17, verse 15. Sanctify Yahweh in your mind, and be ready always to give an answer to every man or woman that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Verse 16. Having a good conscience, that where they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you. Good conversation in Yahweh's song. Verse 17. But it is better if the will of Yahweh be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing.
Mm-hmm. But it says better, you know, if you suffer, make sure you suffer for doing well. Make sure you suffer and you're not a busybody. And if you suffer for well doing, okay, accept that. Because Yahweh got something for that. You suffer for well doing.
Yeah.
You know you're doing right? Get a little suffering on you, okay, take that threat up. Yahweh laid it in there for you to make sure you clear about that. Now let's run to Let's run to 1 Peter. And we'll look at something that you're supposed to do, and anybody stand before you. We're going to 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, that mother eat. Let's see what's written in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. As every man has received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good steward of the manifold covenant of Yahweh. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of Yahweh. If any man or woman minister, let them do it as the ability which Yahweh give, that Yahweh in all things may be honored through Yahweh the Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
What are you saying? Make sure you got a verse on the table. That's what he's saying. Make sure you open your mouth up. Make sure if you're talking and being a minister of the Almighty, make sure what you're talking about is a verse on the table. Just don't be running the mouth and you got no verse on the table. Yahweh do not allow his servants to do that. Let's run to James chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. See, the Almighty servants don't just talk. They have a verse on the table first. So if anybody stand before you, make sure the first thing he tells you is about what verse to turn to and let it be read, and that's what he's going to talk on. He's going to talk on what he thinks and what he feels, because that's the Almighty. That's why we're in the condition we're in today, because we go on smooth talking, not verses. James 4, 10 and 11 says what?
Book of James, chapter 4.
Yes, ma'am.
James, chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Verse 11. Speak not evil one to another, brethren or sisters. He or she that speaketh evil of his or her brother, and judge his brother or sister, speaketh evil of the Torah instruction, and judge the Torah instruction. But if thou judge the Torah instruction, thou art not doers of the Torah instruction, but is doing.
So he said, if you talk against the Torah instruction, if you talk against the Torah instruction, then you are the Lord. That's what he's saying. And the Torah instruction means the first five books. What's written is going to stand in the first five books, whether we like it or not. And what's written in the first five books is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 5 and 12. See, whether we like it and don't want to hear it, don't want to apply it, but what's written, whether we like it or not, is written in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and 12. What does it say?
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 5 and verse 12. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall the man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12. Thus your man
shall
cleanse you. Hold that point
right there. Now what is pertaining to a man that we can read? A woman should not put on that which pertains to a man. What is pertaining to a man that we can read? Let's back up before you read verse Exodus 28. We go on to Exodus 28 and look at verse 40. Let's find out what is the Bible saying. What is pertaining to a man that a woman should not put on? Let's see, can we read it out of the heavenly tablets called the first five books? And 28 verse 40 says what? Of Exodus.
Exodus chapter 28 verse 40. And for Aaron's son, thou shalt make coat, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnet shalt thou make for them for honor and for beauty.
Mm-hmm. Now, back up to 22. And what else for Aaron and his sons? Let's find out what else in verse 22. Verse 22.
And thou shalt make upon the border the breast, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate same at the end of working wasn't work of pure gold.
Is that verse 22? That's Exodus 28:22 there, Mother E.
Exodus 28:22.
Let me speak something.
And those who make upon the breastplate chain.
Let me look at 28:22. Let me see. Let me take a little peep at that, Mother E. Let me see what it said here. Let me take a little peep at it. Let me give a little peep. It says, let me take a little peek. And what is it saying? I need to give me a little peep at it, Mother E. I'm looking for something. I'm going to give me a little peep at something. What if I'm getting a little peep at, too? I got to double back with that. Cause I'm missing me a nice hit there. Mother E, I gotta come back with that. I gotta come back with that because I'm missing something, and I don't want to say what I'm missing, but I'm missing something, and I ain't seeing it, and I ain't gonna talk about it until I hear it read. So I don't know why I'm missing the verse.
No.
Well, tell you what, I'm looking and I don't see what I need. So what I do, I come back with that tomorrow and I don't know why I'm missing this verse yet. So why is I missing this verse? That ain't too good for me to miss that verse. So I'll tell you one thing I do. I leave that, and I make a note of that verse, and I come back with that verse a little bit later. All right, good enough. We'll come back with that verse a little bit later. Daniel chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. We'll come back that verse. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21.
Daniel 23. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coat, their hosen and their hat, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire, furious.
Well, I'm all over the place right now. I'm gonna leave that alone too. Back up, back to that Exodus chapter 28, and come back to that verse 4 too. We get at that verse in a minute. Let's come back and I don't know how I blowed it the first time, but let's come back to verse 42. 28:42. That's what it looks for. 28:42. What does it say there? Exodus 28:42.
Okay. Book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 42 reads, Exodus 28:42. Thus shall make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the lawn, even unto the thigh they shall reach.
Oh, yeah? Thou shalt make them, to my Aaron and his sons, breeches. And you know that's an ancient old word for breeches. Breeches, see, right? Pants today. So the pants of what a woman should not wear that pertain to a man is pants, breeches.
Right.
See, the breeches, but they wool, thou shalt not make them, thou shalt make them linen pants, breeches, to cover their nakedness. From the loins even down to the thigh, they should reach. So they're supposed to have on pants that go all the way down, and that's what a woman do not supposed to wear, is pants. So that's what was pertaining to a man. That woman not supposed to wear was pants. But this thing had been turned upside down. Now the world got the Israelite woman in pants. She's kicking like they kick a football in, don't take away my pants. But the Almighty said woman should not wear that was pertaining to a man, and what pertaining to a man is breeches. Pants. And when the man put the pants on, it goes all the way down, past according to what it said. And from the loins even unto the thigh till they reach. So he'll probably walk around with no shout. His pants will go all the way down. And that's what a man was given by Yahweh to tell a woman, don't put on his pants. And they kick against that. But see, one thing about it, the Bible's going to stand. So the Bible is going to stand. The first five books is the scriptures are truth, according to Daniel. A woman should not have on pants.
Right.
Verse 42, 28:42 says, and thou shalt make them, Aaron and his sons, linen breeches, pants, to cover their neck. From the loins even down the thigh, they shall reach. That's what they're supposed to reach. So when you seeing the man, if he understand the will of Yahweh, he's supposed to have on some pants. And a woman should not have them on, period, according to the first five books. But they kick against it. You know why? Because they got past the one teaching. They got the other teaching. And the other teaching, it ain't but one teaching, the Bible teaching. But we done left the Bible teaching, and we done got into other teaching. And that's why we confused today. Now, because we don't know the foundation of what happened, like I said again, so we're going to go look up. Now, let's take a look at, when we do find out what we're supposed to do, let's show you that it was a reason for all this good stuff. So once we find out what we supposed to do, this is what we supposed to do. Let's run to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Let's see what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20 there, Mother E.
Okay. Verse 17 to 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the Torah instruction are to profit. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18. But truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah instruction till all be fulfilled. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these Torah instructions, and shall teach men, so he shall call the last in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Now what are you going to say? He said, I'm the one gave you Wisdom Solomon 13, verse 3. He said, I'm the one gave you what I want to see you win and what I don't want to see you win. He said, when I came in the body, I didn't come and change nothing that I told the seers to write pertaining to how do I want you to look, O children of Israel. He said, I ain't come and change nothing. If anybody teach, it's okay to change what I got on the table that's written from my father. You will be least in the kingdom, meaning you will be in the fire when it's all said and done. So guess what he says in 22 verse 5? I don't want a woman to have on no pants. That's what he says. And when he came into the flesh, he says, if anybody teach that is you can alter it, they ain't got nothing coming in this world or the world to come. So it's up to you. See, our job is to tell you what the Bible's saying for our salvation. So this is what he says. What you reading there, Mother E?
Wisdom of Solomon. You said 13. I don't know what the verse is. But what the verse is?
That's the first thing we must do. So our first mission is for the children of Israel to sit you in order first. Like you said, why should we join the six of the council of boys of the two Israelites? The first thing we got to show you that you have to be in order first. It just, we don't have nothing for you to join. Because if you don't be in order, you cannot join anyway. But you got to hear what the order is according to the Yahweh. He got an order about how he wants you to be to receive his blessing. What is the Wisdom of Solomon saying in 13 verse 3? Did you find that, Mother?
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verse 3, read. The fool's beauty, if they did delight, took them to be good, Yahweh, let them know how much beauty the Yahweh of them is, for the first author of beauty has created them.
Verse so 12. He said he's the first author of beauty. He said, I'm the one that set the precedent for beauty. And I say what beauty is Ezekiel 16:14. So he said, I'm the author of beauty. So when I put you in them saying a woman should not have on pants, Don't you know I know about what he said? Because my father gave it to me. That is the first author of beauty is a woman don't put on pants. Because he's the author of beauty. And look what he says in 16:14. Ezekiel 16:14 says what?
Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 14. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 14. And they reviled and went forth among the nation, for their beauty, for it was perfect through so my covenant which I had put upon thee, said the Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So Yahuwah put a beauty on you. And the beauty was Isaiah 2 verse 1. What was the beauty that he put upon you? So he said, I put it on you, beauty. And what is the beauty that we can read in Isaiah 52 verse 1?
Book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1 reads, awake, awake, put on their strength. O Yah God, Judah's beautiful Zion, put on their beautiful garment. O Yah God, Judah, the righteous city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Mm-hmm. So he said, put on your beautiful garments, O Southern Kingdom, Yah God, Judah. He said, put on your beautiful garments. And when you put on your beautiful garments, make sure it got number 1538 working with it. What it says, number 1538. Put on your beautiful garments. Let's back up and look at the beautiful garments at number 1538. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Look at the beautiful garments, 1538. Let's look at them.
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue.
Mm-hmm. And now let's go back to Deuteronomy 22:12 and find out when you put the fringes on, how are you supposed to do it? He tell you everything to do. Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. Now we can read.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12. Thus you make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vests, wherewith thus cover thyself.
Mm-hmm. And what that mean by making four quarters? Now we go back to Daniel 3, verse 20 and 21. Now let's go get the precept and see what it means by put them in four quarters. Let's go and see what that means by precept in our Bible in Daniel 3, verse 20 and 21. Now we can bring that verse out again that when I was saying, Mother E, we all over the place because I guess I was running too fast. Now let's run to Daniel 3. Verse 20 and 21 and see what it means by the four quarters. What do four quarters mean? Daniel 3,
Daniel.
20 and 21.
Daniel chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And he commanded the Most High, the men that were in his army, to bend Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fire of furnace. 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their wholesome and their hat and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire, fearing them.
That's it. Give me a little bit more.
Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commander.
Now, wait. Now, hold on. I missed my hit now. Let me see. Let me go back to Daniel and see what I missed now. I missed my hit. Let's see what I missed out of three. Let me see. Can I clean that verse up a little bit? Let's see what I missed out of three, verse 20 and 21. Come back to and see what I missed something out of there, Moby. Now hold on, let me peep in Daniel chapter 3 and look at something that I'm missing. I'm missing a hit. And I didn't hear it. I tell you what, let me go through Ezekiel 5:5-7, and maybe I'll come back to by the time you read Ezekiel chapter, we go and look for what do the four quarters mean. We'll just go another way at it by going to Ezekiel 5:5-7. Where I'll be peeping over in. Ezekiel 5:5-7. Ezekiel 5:5-7.
Verse 7. Therefore, thus said the Yahweh, because you multiply more than the nation that are round about you, have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgment, neither have done according to the judgment of the nations that are round about you.
So when you put your fringes on, the four quarters mean around about you. That means your fringes got to go all the way around. All the way around about you. Let's go to Matthew 22:9-13. So don't ever get over design yourself. Make your fringes, ribbon or blue. Make sure the fringes go all the way around you. That's what he's saying. All the way around. That's what it means. All the way around. Not four quarters, one on one side, and that was sinners of Esau did. They put a thing on four corners of suit coat. They out all everywhere. But they mean round about you. Good. Let's go to Matthew 22:9-13 now, Mother E.
The book of Matthew, chapter 22. Verse 9. Go you therefore into the highway, and as many as you shall find, did to the matter. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highway and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was finished with guests. Verse 11. And when the king come in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding gown. Verse 12. And he said unto him, friend, how comest you in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was secret. Verse 13. Then Then said the king to his servant, bid him, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. So he says, friend, you came in with a garment, but the garment you had on was a Babylonian garment. You got to have a garment with some fringes on it. He said, now you came in the way you want to come in the way, and that don't work. He said, now since you came in with no fringes on, he said, when it's all said and done, cast them into outer darkness, where it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's why it's so important to understand something, Steve, right here. Understand Yahweh got a dress code for the children of Israel. And once you know you Israel, you got to step up to the plate to the dress code. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 17. So understand one thing, Steve, right here. Yeah, 5, 1, and 17. When you don't follow the rules and regulation of Yahweh, I don't care how learned you are, you out of his will. He said when he do come, if he don't catch you in a wedding garment with them fringes on, he going to say, bind you, everybody tied to your hip, and cast you up into the fire. That's what he said. And you believe him or you don't. I believe him. But we tell you in Deuteronomy 8:3, we live by everything he's saying. Is that what he's saying? I'm going to go with what he's saying. What's the reading there, Mother E?
Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 17. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. If a soul person sin and hears the word of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or know of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his sin. Verse 17. And if a soul a person sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Yahweh, though he wish it not, yet if he guilty and shall bear his sin.
So if you go along with what you knowing that what Yahweh tell you not to do, and you go along with the key piece, guess what? He said, I'm gonna get them, but I'm gonna get you too. He said, I got them, don't worry about that. I got them automatic because they being disobedient. At you, but act like you don't see it because you didn't say nothing about it. Now, if you say something about it, guess what happened in Luke chapter? Let's see what happened in Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10. Now, this would happen if you say something. I'm going to show you what's recorded in heaven. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10.
Book of Luke chapter 15, verse 7. In verse 10, Luke chapter 15, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repent more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the innocent spirit of Yahweh over one sinner that repents.
Yeah. So if you able to reach one to understand that you're out of order and they repent, guess what that do for you when you stand before him, James 5:20. So you know, see, the reason why we tell you these good things, if you repent and do the right thing, guess what happened according to James in 5:20 says what?
Book of James, chapter 5, verse 20. Let him know that he which convert a sinner from the error of his way to save a soul, a person, from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
What do you mean by that? See, if you were able to tell somebody and put them on the right track, whatever your shortcoming is, your shortcomings might be in when somebody get on your nerves and you get excited. That might be your shortcoming. But as long as you don't got something in the back, in your purse, that you have to help somebody to find their way, Yahweh will ignore your shortcomings when you on the clock. So keep that in your mind. As long as you out there evangelizing and helping somebody else, although we all got shortcomings, some of us got a temper problem, we get excited. Okay, good. But Yahweh said, I will hide your temper problem getting excited. Long as you remember that just don't evangelizing those that got an ear to hear. Don't put that aside because you mad at one of your closest relatives. Don't worry about that. Just continue to evangelize those that got an ear to hear. And Yahweh is saying, when you're on the clock, I would not cast you away because you did turn a sinner to the right direction. So don't let nobody get you down where you forget to evangelize every chance you get. Let's go to Isaiah 54, verse 17. Isaiah 54, verse 17. So never forget, I don't care who it is, don't let nobody make you mad enough that you forget what you're supposed to be doing in Yahweh. That's the key. That he'll say, hail thou my good and faithful sister. We know you short coming this way, but you did evangelize every chance you got. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says what?
Okay, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, said the Yahweh.
So he's saying, there's no weapon going to be formed against you, going to prosper. Anytime something happens, you remember one thing. Keep doing Yahweh's business. Always continue to do Yahweh's business. I don't care how hot and heavy it is. Continue to be doing Yahweh's business. And he's going to tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because he told you in St. John 16:33. Well, he said that, Mother Eve, St. John 16:33.
Okay. St. John 16:33. St. John, that's the 16 things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Did man tell you? He said, you will have some trouble. You will have a whole lot of trouble in the world. Be of good cheer. He said, I overcome it, and you overcome it too. Be of good cheer. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 down to verse 16. Revelation 20,